said, and her voice changed, becoming clipped and harsh. "I can't be having with that at my time of life. I've never been one to put myself forward. No one could ever say I'm one to put myself forward." Magrat's mouth was an O of amazement. "That's so like her, it's frightening," she said. "It's one of the few things I'm good at," said Agnes in her normal voice. "Big hair, a wonderful personality, and an ear for sounds." "And two minds," Perdita added. "She'll come anyway," Agnes went on, ignoring the inner voice. "But it's gone 11:30. Good grief, I'd better get dressed. Can you give me a hand?" She hurried into the dressing room with Agnes tagging along behind. "I even wrote a bit underneath asking her to be a godmother," she said, sitting down in front of the mirror and scrabbling among the debris of makeup. "She's always secretly wanted to be one." "Phew, that's something to wish on a child," said Agnes without thinking. Magrat's hand stopped halfway to her face in a little cloud of powder, and Agnes saw her horrified look in the mirror. Then the jaw tightened, and for a moment the Queen had just the same expression that Granny sometimes employed. "Well, if it was a choice of wishing a child health, wealth and happiness, or Granny Weatherwax being on her side, I know which I'd choose," said Magrat. "You must have seen her in action."
"Once or twice, yes," Agnes conceded.
"She'll never be beaten," said Magrat. "You wait till you see her when she's in a tight corner. She's got that way of putting part of herself somewhere safe. It's as if she gives herself to someone else to keep hidden for a while. It's all part of that borrowing stuff she does." Agnes nodded. Nanny had warned her about it, but even so it was unnerving to turn up at Granny's cottage and find her stretched out on the floor, as stiff as a stick and holding in fingers that were almost blue, a card with the words, "I ain't dead." When there was nothing much else to occupy her time, Granny Weatherwax sent her mind borrowing, letting it piggyback inside the heads of other creatures. She was widely accepted as the most skilled exponent of the art that the Ramtops had seen for centuries, being practically able to get inside the minds of things that didn't even have minds. The practice meant, among other things, that Lankra people were less inclined towards the casual cruelty to animals that is a general feature of the rural idyll, on the basis that the rat you throw a brick at today might turn out to be the witch you need some toothache medicine from tomorrow. It also meant that people calling on her unexpectedly would find her stretched out, apparently cold and lifeless, heart and pulse barely beating. The sign had saved a lot of embarrassment. It just meant that she was out in the world somewhere, seeing life through the eyes of a badger or a pigeon, riding as an unheeded passenger in its mind.
"And you know what?" Magrat went on. "It's just like those magicians in her wonderland who keep their heart hidden in a jar somewhere for safety so they can't be killed. There's something about it in a book at the cottage."
"Wouldn't have to be a big jar," said Agnes.
"That wasn't fair," said Magrat. She paused. "Well, not fair for most of the time. Often, anyway. Sometimes, at least. Can you help me with this bloody rough?"